Sovereign Grace Ministries and is the worship pastor of a local church there, Covenant Life Church. This is a class entitled Contemporary Worship Ensemble Laboratory, where we are trying to find out the nuts and bolts of leading effectively congregational song. And this particular session we've called Worship Leadership Gift and Craft. And in the title, we already sort of lure you into this idea, this discussion. Is this perspiration or inspiration of learning and practicing skillful, spirit-led worship? We're going to begin today. Bob, do you have opening comments, or shall we?
Let's just begin.
We have two friends, local musicians here, who are going to each lead a song, and then Bob will critique, and we'll just see where it goes from there. And first will be David Ward, who is a new student here at the seminary. David has been writing songs for a number of years, and his website there, www.reformedpraise.org, where he has put a number of his original compositions. And Praise Him is the one before you. He's going to lead us in singing this. Thank you, David. Welcome.
Thanks, Professor Stamm. You can notice at the bottom, Henry Francis Light is the other author. If you know this hymn text, it'll probably be familiar to you. Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven. I know there's been actually several modern settings of this, but this just struck me, this hymn text, and caused me to want to write this in song. So let's give this a whirl. In the parentheses, where it says praise him, that's a call and response, sort of optional. I never like to be too specific, let things kind of organically happen. If I have a team of singers, I was talking about this with Professor, I might have some of them sing the other part. But you don't have to sing it, sing if you want. So why don't I sing it one time just to hear the melody clearly, and then why don't you all stand and try singing the rest, just because it's not a kind of song that I want you to sit on.
My soul, the King of Heaven, to His feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me His praise should sing. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise the everlasting King. Oh, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise Him. And favor to our fathers in distress. Praise Him still, the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. So praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, praise the His faithfulness. So praise Him, praise Him, praise Him, rescues us from all our foes. Oh, praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
widely as His mercy flows. Oh, praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him,
praise Him.
Angels help us to adore Him.
No.
Bob, you want to jump in now?
No, I think that both Angela and them know, and they will make comments together.
All right.
This is great.
Is everyone familiar with the song "There Is a Hope So Sure"?
Yes.
Quasi. Okay. Let me see a show of hands of how many people know the tune. I think that's enough to carry us through the first time. Okay. Great text. This is one of my favorite texts and songs, so I wanted to share it today. Sing with me. There is a hope so sure, a promise so secure, the mystery of God at last made known. Treasure so vast appear, all wisdom, knowledge here. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory. And the life that I now live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. And each day I live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. There is a life so true, a life of love so pure, for all our sin a perfect sacrifice. And when that life was nailed on cruel cross impaled, our sinful flesh with him was crucified. And the life that I now live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. And each day I live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory.
Call this class? This works. Well, what I want to talk about is how, as a musician, you can best. Such a little mic.
Why don't you put that on?
You know, I think I'll put this on just like normal. How, as a musician, we can best encourage the worship of God in spirit and truth, because that's what we're trying to do. And a lot of things can happen when a group of people joins together to sing songs to God, songs of praise to God. And unfortunately, not all of it's worship to God. It can be a lot of things. We can be thinking about what we had for lunch. We can be thinking about whether the person's a good musician or not. We can be thinking about what we're doing after this. All kinds of thoughts can fill our minds. And so it's the position of really the worship leader, the music minister, and perhaps the chief instrumentalist, because you can have someone leading worship accompanied by what we call a chief musician, what I call a chief musician, the main musician who would be supporting everything that's going on. So what I want to talk about is how you do that. How many, does everybody play an instrument here? Okay, that's your. Okay, who plays an instrument? A guitar, keyboard? Okay, great. All right, so most of us. All right. Well, even if you don't, it's helpful to understand some of the principles I'm going to talk about. When we come together to sing, when a congregation comes together to sing to God, which is definitely something God loves, He doesn't have us do that just so that we'll be excited about the music. God's not simply excited about music. He loves music. He created music, He sings over us, it says in Zephaniah 3. And we're commanded to sing. But what changes us is the truth, is the objective realities that we're singing. So music is not an objective reality language. It's a subjective language. It is a language. It speaks differently than words do. It does its own little thing. And some would say that music complements, supports the words. I heard Jeremy Begbie make a case for music complementing the words. Not supporting, but complementing. Music speaks its own language at the same time that the words are speaking the language. And it's just bringing emphasis, it's drawing things out that the words themselves would not do. For instance, if I say, I love you, well, those are words that's a subjective thought expressed objectively. I love you. Music will make that sound a lot of different ways. You know, if I'm saying, I love you, yes, I do. I mean, there's a sweetness to it, you know. But if we're, I love you, yes, I do. You know, there's more of a celebrative. It's yeah. That's just a cheap example. What I wanted to communicate, but you see that in music. The Hallelujah chorus has been done a number of different ways. So that's just the way a song's written. What we want to talk about right now is how we support the song that's being sung. What can we do to make these words, let's take the first song, Praise Him, mean more to people as they're singing Him. So the first thing I'd say to David would be, I think you could slow what you did down just a little bit. When you're teaching a song and it's an up song, our tendency is to think that energy and involvement equals speed. And it doesn't. Time and time again, you listen to a song on a CD and you play that next to something you've done live, and almost always what you've done live is much faster than what was done on the CD. And there's a reason for that. When you're a studio, you're calm, you're not conscious of trying to work things up, you're just trying to do it well and so that it communicates. In a live context, there can be this subtle pressure to kind of, Yeah, it's exciting. Okay, come on, everybody. And that boosts the tempo up. But these words are great words. So one of the things, if you're leading worship, or if you're responsible for that, one of the things you want to do is be very familiar with what the words are saying before you even look at the music. So let's do that. Praise my soul, the King of heaven. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Man, those are great words. Those four words, ransom, healed, restored, forgiven. Who like me his praise should sing? Praise him, praise him, praise the everlasting King. Okay, that's big right there. Praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise him still, the same as ever. Slow to chide and swift to bless. Praise him, glorious is his faithfulness. Okay, now we want to let these words sink in because we're not going to be able to know what the music should do, what the accompaniment should do. Well, let's call it the music. What the music should do unless we've really got these words in our hearts. Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feebleness, he knows. What just happened in the words, in the lyrics? What shifted? What's that? Yeah, it's more personal now. Father-like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feebleness, he knows. In his hands, he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Oh, praise him widely as his mercy flows. So at the end, it takes a shift up again. Yes, he delivers us from all our foes. He's not just like keeping us in this little shelter. He delivers us. Final verse. Angels, help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon. Okay, we're getting expansive now. We're getting cosmos. Sun and moon bow down before him, dwellers in all time and space. Oh, praise him. Praise with us the God of grace. So just through reading through that, you begin to see this flow of the lyric. And there are certain words that stand out, certain phrases, certain passages, that as a musician, I want to do my best to complement. I don't want to do this simply as, you know, I got one way of doing this, and that's the way I'm going to do it. You can do it that way, because a well-trained congregation who understands worship in spirit and truth, a group of worshipers of God, people who love God in Christ and are aware of the redemptive work of Christ on their behalf, will find every excuse and every opportunity to sing and encounter God as they praise him. So you can really do this anyway, and a worshiper will worship God. But we don't want to assume that everybody is in a great place as they come in to sing. We are distracted, we've done different things, people might be going through hard times. So it's our job, through verbal additions and musical instrumentation arranging, to encourage a focus. So, first thing I'd do would be to slow it down a little bit. Okay. Oh, yeah, how did that sound? Okay. All right, but you got... All right, that's one thing I did. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. I mean, what am I doing different from what David did? What's that? Yeah, that's right, I'm hardly playing anything. Because the big deal is not what I'm playing on piano. The big deal is what we're singing. So when you teach a song, don't get caught up in, oh, this is great. See, David's done this song a number of times. He's familiar with it. He knows what's happening. We don't. We have no clue. So that can happen when we're into the song. You know, very simple accompaniment. So say we all know the song. Praise my soul, the King of heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransom healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. What did I just do there? Yeah, a little crescendo. I want to bring attention to ransomed, healed, restored, free. I could even done it earlier. To his feet your tribute bring. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like me his praise should sing. Oh, praise him, praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Oh, praise him. Yeah, I'm praising. And David, you did this later. Praise him. And this part I can play as loud as I want because no one's singing, and I want people to feel the effect of those words. Praise him. Praise the everlasting King. All right. Then we get into verse 2. And David, you're going to come up afterwards and do this again. So be taking notes here. So we're in verse 2. We got praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise him still, the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Oh, praise him, praise him. Now this is more than everlasting King. Oh, more rhythmic. So I'm just praising. Now in the middle of that, we got this praise him still the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. That slow to chide, there's a little bit of a tenderness in there, so I might slow to chide and swift to bless, so praise him. But as I get big, I don't have to use more pedal. How many keyboardists do we have? Okay, so yeah. And if you don't play keyboard, but you're leading a keyboardist, just watch that pedal. Angela, that's one thing I'd cut back on a little bit. When you play, you have a beautiful style, but sometimes your pedal masks the things you're doing. I had James Ward, do you know who James Ward is? James Ward say to me, the pedal is not your friend. And I've
standing up most of
the time. Well, he does, and it makes it harder to play. But it's very helpful for a pianist to know the pedal's not your friend. If I'm going, it's just, it all kind of, you know, flows together. It's very messy as opposed to crazy everlasting. Then I can bring rhythmic impulse that accents things. And what I want to do with the music is bring attention to certain words, to certain phrases that, yes, let's sing this with a little more conviction because these words are strong words. They're talking about something that we need to shout rather than just sing real softly. So we get to the third verse. I think that's all I want to say about that chorus. Yeah, so, I started adding some little fills. Start real simple so people could pick it up. And I think if I was going to do this song, which I'm definitely considering, even if people knew it, it's nice to begin with an emphasis on the voices. Why? Because in Scripture, the predominant sound when God is worshiped congregationally is not the instruments, except in Psalm 150, and in different places where, you know, I will praise the Lord with the lyre, I will praise the Lord with the timbrel. The predominant sound is the song. Yeah, Dave.
I didn't notate that this comes from Psalm 103.
103, yes, it does. And so that is even better. It's the song of the people that we want to emphasize, no matter how many instruments we have. If you have a bunch of instruments, that just means everybody plays much more carefully. I mean, if it's already written out, then that's good. But we were talking with Keith earlier about, who's doing instrumentations, just about the importance of breathing space so that people feel like like they have a part in this, and you don't have instruments always coming at them. You can do the same thing with just one instrument. If I'm here, praise my soul, the King of Heaven, to his feet your tribute bring. Ransom healed, restored, forgiven. I mean, it's just like it's just not very helpful. No one's thinking, oh, he wants me to sing. They're thinking, gosh, that's a loud piano, or boy, he has heavy hands, or I don't know. They could be thinking a lot of things. It just becomes a competition more than, hey, you're the main thing. And when we're leading, we want people to feel, I'm leading you, but you're the main thing. God is hearing your voices, your hearts, and this is just to support what you're doing. Okay? So we get to the third verse. I'm sorry, I keep getting ahead of myself because this is all spontaneous. So the second verse, we can add little things, but those little things, one, are out of the range of the vocal, which is right about here, octave below middle C, octave above middle C. That's, you know, the basses, the men are singing here, the women are singing here. So all the stuff I'm doing in here is right in that range. What's that? Audio of the audio spectrum. So if I'm going to do something that's going to add, I want to do it up here. So I'll do, praise him for his grace and favor to our fathers in distress. Praise him still, the same as ever, slow to chide and swift to bless. Oh, praise him. That stuff, you can do it really light and it's still heard. So that'd be true with a trumpet, it'd be true with any instrument. You know, where you put that, if you want it to come out, rather than doing it while everybody's singing and, you know, having this battle going on, do it in the spaces, but do it in a place where people aren't singing. So I was just adding a few of those things. Then we get to the third verse coming up. Father, like, he tends and spares us. Well, our feebleness he knows. In his hands he gently bears us, rescues us from all our foes. Oh, praise him, praise him, brightly as his mercy flows. Oh, praise him, praise him, praise him. And then we do the fourth verse, and that's pretty much angels help us to adore him. And right now, when I'm playing up here, I want to hear you. Then I know that I'm not playing too loud. Sometimes I get carried away and just play really loud. But what I want to do is hear what you're doing, because that tells me if you're engaging or not. If you're like singing out, if you're hearing the words, if you know the melody, you know, all those kinds of things. So it's all, what I'm doing here is all an effort to serve people singing and coming into contact with these words. I want them to feel, to know, to think about, to engage with the truth of these words. And as they do that, music's just going to come right around it and support it and complement it and add to it and make it even more impacting. Because we could all stand here and say, praise him. Praise him. Praise him. Praise him. It's just not as fulfilling to do that as it is to do it to music. Praise him. Praise him. Praise the everlasting King. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Yes, praise him. So I just want to use this to support this and find as many ways as I can to open that up and then add to it. So David, you're gonna come now. Yes.
Yeah. this, I did for the fourth verse, play totally different chords.
The fourth verse?
Play totally different chords.
This time?
Yeah. Is that helpful? Sometimes you do that, I've seen on other songs.
I didn't, oh, so you, in the parentheses? Angels help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. That's nice. And some heal. Is that what you did?
Yeah, yeah, but I was wondering, is it too soft maybe for those lyrics or for a last verse? Or
no? Well, no, because it could be, well, see, that's what music does, and that's what you get to determine as the leader. Do you want to focus on the more ethereal aspect of angels help us to adore him? Which you can do. Angels help us to adore him. You behold him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before him. Dwellers in all time and space. So pray. I mean, I like that treatment. Just kind of taking it to more ethereal. Or you could build it up. Yeah.
Could you also use that alternate recording on the third verse and then go back to the original?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, it's those kinds of things. It's wonderful to have options. And on a different Sunday or a different meeting, I might do something different, depending on what's come beforehand. Yeah, Keith.
In normal, I guess, reality setting, this could cause a lot of work. Like, say, I mean, I could play, but say, if I wasn't going to play, then this would cause the Ministry of Music quite a bit of work if they wanted to do what you're suggesting, because then somebody would have to write it all.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's not, that's just not the reality of everybody in every church that Ian has been able to do on the
floor. Right. Yeah, that's a good point. You got the note readers and the non-note readers. You got the eyes and the ears. People play music by eye, people play music by ear. What I'm talking about is for people who play music by ear. You take those concepts, though, if you're in a note-reading church, primarily, you take those concepts and you can still apply them. And this is what we were doing with Keith earlier. Just he's done some arrangements, and you know, for piano, organ, obbligato, and we're just talking about how do you write that so that it sounds the same way, like you're inviting people in. And our tendency when we write music and play music is to think that we need, you know, we need just to put in a lot more than we really do. And it's careful listening that makes you realize that playing a little less, especially specific places, helps bring out people's song. Now, of course, when everybody's belting it, you don't want to do, you know, Mighty Fortress. Almighty, actually, I mean, that's a good idea, but okay, crown him with many crowns. The Lamb upon his throne. If you're going to overplay, that's the time. You know, but just every song isn't the fourth verse of Crown Him with Many Crowns. And we sometimes approach songs like they are. Okay, everybody know! And then you lose the dynamics of what corporate worship should be about. Which, you know, as you read the Psalms, they're just all kinds of emotions. Not that that's the only model that we have for corporate worship, but there, it does reflect what should be present in our relationship with God. Times of intimacy, times of grandeur, times of repentance, times of unbelievable celebration. Always thoughtful, filled with content, centered around God's redemption, lyrically. So, let's assume we're in the ear church. And David, why don't you come up and do this again, because we can talk about things, but until we actually do them, we haven't learned much. I am. Sure we do. This is for posterity. What happened to the mic stand?
So, of course, now that we all know the song.
Well, yeah, well, that's good, but see, you still
want to... I still want, of course, it's the first verse, you still want to sort of...
That's right, let people in, that's right, exactly.
Quick study.
Okay, for a little slower.
Okay. You're right, I get excited. So
calm
I start.
Down, David, calm down.
I've known David for a couple years.
something I forgot to mention. You don't have to play the melody. We're going to sing it. Like me, you know it.
His praise should sing. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise the everlasting King. Oh, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him for
soften up here.
His grace and favor to that Father's endless service.
Yes, just do it in time. If you can do a fill, make sure it's in time.
Oh, praise Him.
Less metal.
Much as He's playing on this next verse, Father.
Father,
soft, just chords. Yeah, not so much. Yes. See how all of a sudden we're aware of our singing?
Oh, praise Him.
Leave a little breaks here. Yes.
Praise Him. Praise Him.
Angels help us.
Angels help us too.
Softer, softer.
You behold Him face to face. Sun and moon bow down before Him. Dwellers in all time and space.
It was a lot harder to try to sing and focus on leading.
No, I know. But. I know. Well, but this is what I appreciate about what you did is that you
took risks and tried to do things that were more helpful than just going on and doing what you always do. And we're never going to grow if we simply do what's comfortable. We have to do things that stretch us. And what time? Okay, so. Absolutely. Even more so, Chip. Guitar players are notorious. No. Unfortunately, keyboard players have more notes to choose from and a lot more volume generally, unless you're amplified. But it's true. It doesn't matter if we're one instrument or four or 10 or 15 or 20. We've got to think what is going to encourage faith in people's hearts to concentrate on these words. Because if people go away thinking, oh, I just love the music, we haven't done our job. We've drawn too much attention to ourselves. We've drawn attention away from the truth that can really change their lives. David, that was much better. Always check your tempo. I mean, before you're going to start, if you're not using a metronome already, I know some places have little metronomes on the stands, and that's how they get it. Just always be in a calm state. Don't let your muscles tell you how fast the song should be, because they'll almost always be wrong. You've got to hear it. There's in distress. And then the little fills and stuff, they're helpful, they're not crucial, but better to practice them obviously outside the group context than during the group context. I know people who I gotta do it, and then they'll lose the time. That's the worst. It's not the worst, close. Better to just keep a regular, steady time beat. What did you say, Keith?
That spontaneous play, that counteracted the whole.
If a spontaneous player is out of time?
No, you're saying don't practice it while you're doing it. Isn't that what spontaneous play is?
Well, spontaneity comes from hours of practicing it at other times. So you know in your head, before you even play it, what it's going to sound like. So you're not, there's a little bit of, you know, practice, but that's, practice just makes you comfortable doing that. That's all. All right, now with Angela's song, which was wonderful, Angela just did a number of very helpful things. Do you want to guess what they were? Do you want to take a stab at what she did that was helpful? What's that?
She took it slow.
Took it slow? Yeah, there wasn't. I mean, we could do this song. There is a hope so sure, a promise so secure, the mystery of God at last may know. You know, just kind of march through it. Yeah, yeah. Which she didn't do, and it was very helpful. Because having never sung that song before, I wanted to sing these words. I wanted to hear what they say, because I know anytime Graham Kendrick's name is at the bottom, they're going to be meaty words. It's not going to be something fluffy. So it was great, great tempo. Yeah, what else did she do that was helpful? Anything? What's that? Exactly, yeah. Immediately, she was playing down here. A promise so secure. I mean, we could hear the voices. Which, what does that do? When you hear the voices of everybody singing, it makes you more aware of what the words are. You hear that sound and you go, oh, wow. That's true, yes. Which, on a side note, if you're ever involved in a building planning meeting where you're talking about what your new building is going to be like, make sure that it's a live setting and not, as most sound guys want, like totally dead. Lots of carpet, lots of acoustical treatment on the walls, no reflective surfaces. Really, what you're looking for is kind of a cross between a gymnasium and a funeral parlor. Something that's dead enough so that speech is understandable, but something that's live enough so that when people sing, you hear the sound, it reverberates. And there are ways of doing that, but you have to be very clear with your acoustical engineer, your acoustical design people, that that's what you want, because that's not what they'll build. This is fresh coming off building a year and a half ago where our acoustical engineers got it right. And we have a great auditorium that where you can hear people sing. And our previous auditorium was like a gymnatorium, dead as a doornail. And people had really had to fight to sing. We're going to sing. And our people did, because they're very enthusiastic when they sing. But just a side note. So yeah, she played soft enough so that we could sing. What else did she do? Yes.
Jesus rose again, victory over sin and death part, which is good.
Yes. There is a life so strong, and modulation is written into the chart, but yeah, we felt that there is a life so strong that a whole world of wrong and all the powers of hell could not defeat. For Jesus rose again. And now, if she had kept it in D, it would have been, you know, I probably shouldn't do that. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. There is a life so strong that a whole world of wrong. It just doesn't sound the same. I mean, again, if you're thinking of the words, if faith is operating, you can overcome that. But that's not the point. It's not. Let's test people to see if they can really sing in faith, even though I'm not doing a thing to help them, and actually counteracting what they should be doing. So, yeah, that was great. It was just helping us sing those words. Anything else? Anything else? It's all very good.
Nothing that she was doing that was distracting me from the words.
Yeah.
The fills or just where she was going on the keyboard, it didn't draw
Yep, just very supportive, not trying. What's that? not distracting, easy to sing it. Yeah, I mean, it was very supportive of what we were singing and trying to sing. The few thoughts I have, Angela, well, here's another thing she did. Remember what she did when she first came up? What she said? What'd she say? What's that? Yeah. Immediately drawing our attention to what we were singing, to the words that we were going to be singing. It's one of my, and she said it with real enthusiasm. It's one of my favorite texts. Is that what she said, favorite texts? What's that? Okay. Is that what you said?
Possibly.
I'm a little deaf, so I heard the word favorite, about the words, and so right away, she's genuinely excited about the truth in this song. And it led us into appreciation for what we're about to do. So that was so helpful. Very good. You played a lot down here. Da 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 da. And I think it was in the second verse maybe you started adding a little stuff up there. Yeah. You know, it might be better if you just came and played it, because now that seems so long ago. Would you mind coming and doing that again?
She also cut back on the final refrain to let the voices.
Yes.
For me, it sort of invited, said, please harmonize.
It does. Now, David, you did that as well, didn't you? At one point, did you let us sing on one of the courses, praise him? Praise him? Yeah. Yeah, anytime, not anytime, but we just want to remember that it's good to make room for voices, not as a technique, but as a means of focusing our thoughts on what's most important. Okay, could you try that again? Yeah.
There is a hope so sure, a promise so secure,
the mystery of God at last we know, treasure so best for me.
Okay, stop. Okay, what she just did was really nice. Did anybody notice what she just did? I know, well, that's good. Did she? I wasn't aware of that. So, but that's good. Now we're really thinking about it. It's wonderful. Yes, she changed the texture in between. While we were waiting, treasure so vast. Just a little thing that she fit in between. The first moment of creativity that was let out was just in that little space, just well-timed, and then we just went right on. So there's just kind of peace. She went down, and I mean, you don't want to get too specific about what's happening, but if she had done that, tried to do that other places, it would have been distracting, or just, you know, there would be this collision happening, because we're trying to sing, she's doing stuff down here. But that little moment, boo, 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 da, da.
I think it was also helpful, because that's the spot where people will miscount.
Yes. Exactly.
Right. She was sort of saying, wait.
Now. Yeah, that's right. Very good point, Chip. Yeah, there's the more confident that we are when we're leading, the happier everyone will be. No one wants, you don't lead congregations filled with musicians. They're waiting for someone to lead them. So if, a lot of pianists will, da 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 da. You know, nothing, and everybody's, oh, I don't wanna sing when nobody's singing. So that was very nice. Okay, can we keep it going? Treasures so vast appear. Da da da. It's Christ the hope of glory. And the light that I now live,
no longer is my own.
Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory, and each day I have no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory.
Okay, one little thought there. A lot of what you're doing is like down in that lower range. Occasionally got up, that'd be a nice spot to just to do, yeah, do something up there. One other thing, there's a melody change. This is just a technical thing, which most people might not catch. So I might emphasize that. Right here, da-da-da-da-da, what is he? Da-da-da-da-da-da, da-da-da. So here's da-da-da-da-da-da. So I might bring that up here so that people hear it really clearly. Again, this is, in this context, we don't have a microphone, no singers, you know, there's nothing that we can hang on to know what the melody is other than what's happening right here at the piano. So just do that again, Angela. And then light that, and just right here, no long, just yeah, come up here. Day I live, no longer is my own. Just give us that little emphasis there. And life that I now live, no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. And such day I live, no longer is my own. Yes. And a number of people will be go, oh, that's what it is. Thank you. That's right. And yeah, you did fine. We were a life of love so pure. For all that sin, a perfect sacrifice. And when that life was just a little less pedal. Yes, it opens up your playing and sounds, it makes it sound less oatmealish. That I now live, no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. And each day I live, yes, yeah, maybe a little up higher. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. Keep going. There is a life so strong. Yes. Remember not to play too much pedal. For Jesus rose again. Yeah, that's where it's. And Him will rise to share His endless life. And life that I now live, no longer is my own. See how she's not overplaying right now? It's big, but she's not crowding us out. Good. Okay, we'll stop there. Yeah, the thing about Angela's playing that's so good is just it's very sensitive. We're at 322. This is a bummer. Yeah, you're sensitive. I was just going to say play a little less pedal. Let the times you want to use the pedal is when you can't hold the things together. But sometimes you're playing chords and it just gives a little more, oh, that's what she's doing. And then rather than always thinking of, you know, just the chords, think of open fifths. Again, it gives a little more space and can help maybe sound a little more regal and that kind of thing. All right. So can we thank David and Angela for participating? Well, I hope that's helpful.
Very helpful.
It's certainly, we didn't even talk about intros, outros, turnarounds, all that stuff, but you both did a great job on that, so we didn't need to.
Thank you. See you next year.
All right, yeah, hopefully. Lord willing.